All right, friends, it's HoopBall promo time. This is big because this is our 2020-2021 NBA season product rollout, and I am so excited to tell you about what we've got. We almost never push our HoopBall products, but this is the window of the year where we need to power that engine. So let me tell you what's out. We've got our draft guide, our flagship shining beacon to the most comprehensive draft guide in fantasy. We cover all over 400 players this season with future access pass to our Brewski 150. Now, if you don't know what the Brewski 150 is, I'm here to give you the need-to-know info. This is the fantasy draft list that has beaten every other list for 10 straight years. And new this year for HoopBall, we're unveiling our monthly membership plans featuring our fantasy pass, draft guide, Brewski 150, our new DFS pass, premium in-season tools, as well as our wager pass for sports bettors. Everything you need, we've got you covered. 365 around the clock, HoopBall Tools is your one-stop shop for your NBA treasure trove of fantasy need-to-know information. All that you need and more, check us out. Head to hoop-ball.com or follow at HoopBallFantasy on Twitter now. Check it out, give us a follow, get your tools, and win your league. All right, friends, it's HoopBall promo time. This is big because this is our 2020-2021 NBA season product rollout, and I am so excited to tell you about what we've got. We almost never push our HoopBall products, but this is the window of the year where we need to power that engine. So let me tell you what's out. We've got our draft guide, our flagship shining beacon to the most comprehensive draft guide in fantasy. We cover all over 400 players this season with future access pass to our Brewski 150. Now, if you don't know what the Brewski 150 is, I'm here to give you the need-to-know info. This is the fantasy draft list that has beaten every other list for 10 straight years. And new this year for HoopBall, we're unveiling our monthly membership plans featuring our fantasy pass, draft guide, Brewski 150, our new DFS pass, premium in-season tools, as well as our wager pass for sports bettors. Everything you need, we've got you covered. 365 around the clock, HoopBall Tools is your one-stop shop for your NBA treasure trove of fantasy need-to-know information. All that you need and more, check us out. Head to hoop-ball.com or follow at HoopBallFantasy on Twitter now. Check it out, give us a follow, get your tools, and win your league.
The following is a HoopBall presentation.
Ballers! We back. And are you ready? That's right, HoopBallers. Top of the box score breakdown. What's up, guys? It's Josh Millman. We're back Wednesday night, December 18th. We've got a niner for you. We're doing this podcast from a walkie-talkie. 9 games of NBA action here on the box score breakdown. A HoopBall presentation. With me, as always, my good friend, El Capitan, Kurt Beach. Kurt, what's up, dude?
Josh, I'm living the dream, brother. Just doing some traveling, home with the family. So hoping that we don't hear any crazy noises, but I got the little one running around. So we'll see. If there's any crazy noises, just chalk it up to some holiday cheer.
Well, maybe he's got some fantasy insight for us. You never know. So
yeah.
The guest spot on the pod, I suppose. You know, now it's all good. You know, family, Christmas, travel. You know how it gets. We are 1 week away, so you know we're all gearing up for the madness here, as I'm sure you are.
Yes, sir.
And any case, this is again the box score breakdown. We are a HoopBall presentation. Check us out, hoop-ball.com. We, as always, are presented by the great folks at Hawaiian Isles Kona Coffee Company. So this podcast, like all of our shows, is brought to you by Hawaiian Isles Kona Coffee Company. Check out their website at HawaiianIsles.com, on Amazon by searching for Hawaiian Isles Kona Coffee, or on Twitter at HI Kona Coffee. And don't forget, we have the Brews Letter. That's right. Our very own Aaron Brewski, our founder, our overlord. He's writing an email newsletter for the 2019-2020 season, and you will not find it anywhere else. And it's very simple. Just go to hoop-ball.com, sign up for the email newsletter. It's free. There's nothing you need to do. Just go to the site, go to the newsletter, sign up. It takes 10 seconds, and you get Aaron Brewski, the man, the myth, the legend, straight to your inbox. It is the best basketball insight, not just fantasy basketball, just basketball insight that you can find anywhere. And again, goes right to your inbox. So definitely go check out hoop-ball.com/newsletter and sign up for our very own Brews Letter. And with that, we've got 9 games of basketball to break down for you. Kurt, I'm going to start us off with the Cavs and the Hornets. Cavaliers winning 100-98. We're going to start on the Hornets side here. So running down, we had a big game from Terry Rozier, 35 points. And it's 4 steals in there, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. Not great percentages, but a high volume here. 12 of 27 shooting and 7 three-pointers for Rozier. 4-4 from the stripe. The monster line for him. Really solid work for Rozier. He can be up and down again with those shooting percentages, but a great night for him tonight. Less so, Devontae Graham. Only 3 of 16 shooting tonight for 9 points. He did have 9 assists and a couple of steals and a block, so that salvaged the line a bit, but the 3 of 16 shooting is just pretty brutal. But at the same time, you kind of expect that from these guys. Rozier and Graham will trade some poor shooting nights here and there, and this unfortunately was one of them. Cody Zeller has now started again with Bismack Biyombo. Zeller played 31 minutes, had 15 points, 9 boards, 2 steals, and assists. I've been advocating adding him. If you haven't already, he can plod his way into top 100 value. He hadn't been getting the minutes earlier, but with PJ Washington on the shelf with his finger injury, Zeller has been the one to scoop up those minutes, so he is an add at this point. Less so, Miles Bridges only played 21 minutes tonight, had 6 points, 3 rebounds, and assists. The breakout right now just does not seem to be happening. He has really struggled this year. It's been Devontae Graham again who has maintained his position as that surprise breakout on this team. And Miles Bridges has really struggled. And, you know, it's getting to the point where, you know, we know that he's had top 50 stretches, especially last year, but it's getting increasingly hard to depend on him. And I'm starting to have eyes to look elsewhere with Miles Bridges and where I have him. Again, Bismack Biyombo got the start at center. Only 4 points, 7 boards, 2 assists, and a block. It's a streaming rebounder and blocks guy. And Zeller's the better option on this team right now. And off the bench, Marvin Williams, 10 points, 4 assists, 4 rebounds, but nothing on the defensive side. And that's really it. Dwayne Bacon, who had a hot game, really cooled off in this one. He was only 1 of 3 and played 12 minutes. So not really much else to go on here. Kurt, anything that I missed on the Hornets side of things?
Only real thing, I guess, is if you were holding Malik Monk for some reason in a deeper league, he left with a hip contusion. So, you know, hips are kind of finicky. You could probably cut him if you're in a deeper league and move on somewhere else. I like your take on Zeller. With PJ out at least for another week and him and Biyombo both starting, he's been the center to own there. I like that.
For sure. Absolutely.
Also, Nick Batum was a DMPCD today. No injury news. So if you own him for whatever reason, he's been a cut candidate pretty much all year, but that just increases the reason to cut him there. Over on the Cavs side, we had Kevin Love leading the way with 16 and 14, 7 dimes, 1 steal, 1 block, 4 three-pointers. He's been really up and down this year, just inside the top 90 on a 9 cap per game value. Jetty Osmond had one of his better games of the year with 18, 3 and 1, chipped in 2 steals, 1 block, 1 3. His stat line is usually too empty to depend on in standard leagues, more of a 14-16 teamer there. Tristan Thompson had a better game, at least in better than he's had in the last couple weeks with 14 and 13. Made 2 of 2 from the free throw line. Colin Sexton had a solid game, 10 of 14 shooting, which is not really what you expect from him. 23 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals is nice. No threes, no blocks, 5 turnovers. Darius Garland, coming off a hot game, had 7 and 6 tonight with a 3-pointer, shot 3 of 10. That's kind of where he is as a rookie point guard. He'll have a solid game, an off game, solid game, an off game. I still think there's a shot in the second half of the season that he could be a guy that you'll want on your team, but I don't think he's really even worth a stash right now unless you're really high in the rankings. You could afford a luxury stash. Off the bench, Kevin Porter might also see a decent run in the second half, but only saw 16 minutes tonight for 7-2. Again, more of a luxury stash here. Jordan Clarkson, fringy 12-team guy, had 10-3-3. No three-pointers, no defensive stats. And really, Josh, not a whole lot has changed here on the Cleveland side for me. What's your take on these guys?
One guy that I do want to call out is Larry Nance Jr., a guy who has routinely been a top 100 guy, can deliver defensive stats, and his time has been dwindling, and his play has suffered. And this team, is, you know, they're very heavy with minutes on Thompson and Love, and unless one of these guys get dealt, hurt, et cetera, his value's been really been suffering this year. Mm-hmm. And it's for a guy who's one of those low key, you know, he gets overlooked in drafts because he's not a sexy name, but you know where to find value for him, except he's just simply hasn't been delivering value. The defense has been lacking, and he's kind of gotten lost in that rotation a little bit. Minutes been dipping under 20 for a little bit now. This has been going on for the last few games. He hasn't hit that 20 minute mark. It's getting to that point where owners may hit the panic button a little bit. So that just to wrap that up there, he had been a paper guy of mine doing rock paper scissors, but it's getting dicey if those low minutes keep continuing. So we are going to move on to the Raptors and the Pistons. Raptors win 112-99. On the Raptors side, Pascal Siakam, 26 points, 5 boards, 3 assists, 1 steal, 4 blocks, 10 of 23 shooting, 6 three-pointers, and another outstanding night for Siakam. I don't know what else to say about him. He's great. If you own him, you're happy. He's phenomenal. He can do just about everything. He's been a top 20 guy the past couple weeks and has been kind of hovering in that range throughout the season, but he's heated up again, and he's amazing. Let's see, Kyle Lowry, triple double, 20 points, 10 boards, 10 assists, 2 steals, a block. Not a great shooting night, only 5 of 17, but Lowry has those kinds of nights. He did have 3 3 pointers, was 7 of 8 at the line as well. Just a lot of extra usage with Van Vliet still out. At the same time, Norman Powell left this game with the shoulder injury in the fourth quarter. So that may even add to Lowry's usage moving forward. Norman Powell did play 33 minutes, but he only had 9 points, 3 boards, 3 assists. So if you went and tried to grab him off your waiver wires over the course of this hot streak, this is a very ill-timed injury. And what's worse is that Marc Gasol left early with a hamstring injury. He only played 8 minutes, had 0 points, 2 steals, 1 board. Again, left early. I believe it was a hamstring injury. And Serge Ibaka had 31 minutes off the bench, and he had a monster night. 25 points, 13 boards, 2 assists, a steal on 10 of 18 shooting. So if Ibaka is for some reason available in leagues, go get him immediately. And at the same time, fortunately, Van Vliet's coming back soon. At least we think so. But it might be time to look at some of the bench guys again, like Patrick McCaw, who had 27 minutes off the bench, didn't do much with it, but also Terrence Davis, who had had some nice games and filled in admirably when Ananobi was out and Lowry was out, and the Raptors look like they're dinged up again. They had gotten healthy, now they're dinged up again, so we'll see. And just to round out the starters, OG Ananobi played 35 minutes. He had 19 points, 8 boards, 3 assists, and a block. A nice all-around night for him. He has 7-12 shooting and a couple three-pointers as well, and 3 of 3 at the stripe. Great line for him. This is, again, going to be a rotation just with the injuries that are going to continue to consolidate. So we'll keep an eye on the news on Gasol and Powell, and we'll see how that shakes out, but there might be some value opportunities off the Raptors bench depending on the severity of their injuries and how much longer Van Vliet will be on the sideline as well. Kurt, a lot of news going on with the Raptors. Anything else that you got for me on the Dinosaurs?
All I got is people would probably see this news with Marcus All going down and think, oh, it's Chris Boucher time. But he only saw 6 minutes tonight, and it's not like Gasol left late in the game. He only played 8 minutes. So if you were thinking Boucher, I would think again, let him show us a game or two. Who knows how long Gasol will be out, but I don't think Boucher is a speculative ad in any standard or 14-teamers, maybe deeper than that. Really, that's all I got. Would you be looking at Boucher in any standard league here, Josh?
No, I agree with you there. I think Ibaka is the guy to own. I think Boucher had gotten the boost because Gasol really wasn't playing well early on in the year, and Ibaka was the one who was injured. So he was the one to naturally step up there. But I think this will be a little bit different. I think Ibaka will just slide naturally into that starting lineup. I'm not entirely sold on Boucher, but like you said, keep your eye on the next couple of games, but if this is any indication, then he's not going to be worth an ad right now.
Absolutely.
All right. Lay some Pistons on me, sir.
All right, sir. Holy guacamole. We had Andre Drummond return tonight for 22-18, 2 steals, 2 blocks, solid from the field, okay from the free throw line. Good to see he's over his allergy there. Blake Griffin, I know he was one of your cut guys. He returned tonight, 15-2-4. 6 of 13 from the field, which is actually a lot better than what he's been doing this season, shooting a pretty atrocious 36% from the field. I agree with you, Josh, like you were saying the other day. He is very hard to count on, getting up there in age, not really helping you in field goal percentage and turnovers. Tony Snell started tonight. Not really anything of note there for anything inside probably 14-teamers. Luke Kennard. We told you he was a sell-high candidate before Blake Griffin came back. 7 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 threes. This is probably a lower-end line than what you'll get on him on an average night, but he's not going to be that Luke Kennard we saw in the first 3 to 4 weeks to start the season. Bruce Brown got a start tonight. He saw 12 points, 3 boards, 2 assists, 1 3. Only 20 minutes, 4 turnovers. Not really a standard league guy right there. Derrick Rose off the bench was all right, 16-4-5, no threes, but saw 28 minutes. Langston Galloway played 22 minutes, only 6 points and a three. Still haven't seen the return of Reggie Jackson. Who knows when that'll happen. One thing of note, I guess, here is Christian Wood went down with a knee injury. Yeah, left knee, left in the second quarter. They're hoping it's minor. But if you have him and he was one of your last guys on your roster, depending on what the fallout is of this, you could probably move on there, especially with Blake and Drummond both back. Then again, who knows how long it'll be before Blake's out again. But we see them more often than not lean on Markieff Morris over Christian Wood. And really, Josh, that's all I got on these Pistons. What do you got?
Yeah, this team's brutal. Outside of Drummond, I advocated the cut for Griffin because, again, this is as good a line as he's had all season, and even that isn't going to meet his draft capital with 15 points, 4 assists, and 2 boards. I mean, again, that's fine if you're fishing for
top 300,
top like 125 guy, but not someone of Blake Griffin's caliber. I'm kind of stunned that he came back so quickly.
Me too.
I'm sure he's trying to tough it out, and God bless him for doing that. But it seems like this, again, I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to speculate, but having missed the early part of the season, for having, reports of knee soreness and just the play, the lack of rebounds, et cetera, just the general lack of explosion, I'm still very concerned about Griffin moving forward. So maybe if you can flip him for something, go for it. But again, I am not investing in Blake Griffin anywhere in any league of mine. And that's really basically all I got for the Pistons. So why don't we move on to the Bulls and the Wizards. Chicago winning 110-109 in overtime. It was a close one. And on the Bulls side, Larry Markkanen, 31 points. 9 boards, an assist, a steal, a block, 12 of 19 shooting, 5 three-pointers, a perfect 2 of 2 at the stripe. He's been fantastic again. And, you know, again, if you've bought low on Markkanen, congratulations. And he's, because he, over the past couple of weeks, has been a top 25 per game player. And again, that's the kind of ceiling that he can deliver. And he's been great. This was another fantastic line for him tonight. He's starting to get his groove back. And that's really great to see, especially for the owners that invested an early pick in him. Wendell Carter Jr., 9 points, 9 boards, 2 assists, a steal, and 3 blocks. Not a big scoring night, not a great shooting night either. Only 3 of 8 from the floor, but at the same time, a pretty well-rounded line. We will happily take the 4 defensive stats as well as the near double-double. So that's pretty good. Chris Dunn is still starting. Played 35 minutes in the OT game. He had 15 points, 5 boards, 5 assists, and a steal. He's more than just a steal streamer at this point. He's been locked into that starting lineup of late. And as long as Otto Porter remains sidelined, there is top 100 upside in his game. And I'm still hanging on to him in leagues. And he's been a top 100 guy over the past couple of weeks. He's kind of inching into that area on the season. And we know what he's capable of. He's one of the best defenders in the league. So just keep riding him as long as he's in that starting role. Zach LaVine, 24 points, 5 boards, 5 assists, 3 steals. And we'll happily take the 3 steals because the shooting was absolutely atrocious. 6 of 23 from the floor. A perfect 11-11 at the stripe, which helps salvage things. But we kind of know LaVine continues to be as some empty calories. Some high scoring and not a whole lot else. Just the scoring alone and some of the volume that he delivers is going to keep him in that top 50 area. But some nights like this where he's shooting poorly can really weigh your field goal percentage down just on the heavy volume of shots that he has. And Thomas Satoransky, 17 points, 7 boards, 6 assists, and a steal. Nice all-around line for him on 7-11 shooting. He's been a solid mainstay. We do get a lot of questions on him. You know, what do we do with him? Whatever, you hang on to him because this rotation has tightened up, and it's Satoransky and Dunn that are sticking around that starting lineup with some of the injuries that they have had, and they've done so in place of Kobe White, who only played 18 minutes tonight and had 3 points and 3 boards and nothing else on 1-6 shooting, and Ryan Arcidiacono only played 14 minutes, had 2 points. 4 boards, 3 assists. So again, that it was an unsettled point guard rotation early on, but it pretty much is pretty settled right now. It's Dunn and Satoransky are the guys to own at this stage of the game. Anything else you got for me on the Bulls, Mr. Beach?
Just to echo what you said, good sir, Dunn and Satoransky, we get those questions about them. Sure, they're not sexy, they're not great from the field, but respectively, they're number 100 and 109 and 9 cap prior to tonight, so easy 12-team guys, even 10-teamers right there. So keep holding on. Just because somebody's not sexy doesn't mean they're not helping your team. On the Wizards side, we had a few guys out. Thomas Bryant, we know, is still out for initial timetables, 3 to 6 weeks. Could be, or evaluate in 3 weeks, I believe, but we're expecting maybe it could be 6 weeks total. Who knows, especially with as bad as the Wizards are. Rui Hachimura is down for at least 5 games, and I think Mo Wagner is out for 2. So with that, they recalled this guy who I have no idea how to say his name, Anzej Pasechkis. That I probably murdered that. You can try a better pronunciation than I can in a second here, Josh. He played 28 minutes off the bench for 9-8 with an assist. I know nothing about this guy. I would not add him in a standard league, but if you're in a 14-teamer, 16-teamer, you need to keep a close eye on him. He could be a solid weekly play. I mean, even in standard leagues, keep an eye on this guy because I don't know what he's capable of. With that, our man Davis Bertans got 37 minutes tonight for 26 points, 7 boards, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block, 7 three-pointers, took 13 three-pointers. 3 of 3 from the free throw line. This guy has been an absolute monster. As Josh advocated, he is one of the solid, one of the rocks, should be owned in every league. Jan Mahinmi he's filling in where he can, but he doesn't see an extended role. Maybe a 16-team guy, 8-6 with 3 blocks, followed out tonight. Isaiah Thomas is up and running again, missing some shots from the field, but he's had 16 points, 3 threes, 2 boards, and an assist. Bradley Beal hurt you from the field tonight, 4 of 19, 1 of 3 from three-point land, but helped you from the free throw line, 13 of 14, so kind of balances out. 22, 7 and 7, 1 steal, 2 blocks, 5 turnovers. Isaac Bonga started, nothing to see there. Ish Smith off the bench played 33 minutes, 6, 5 and 6. Troy Brown Jr. had a pretty solid line, only 22 minutes off the bench. He had 10, 6 and 2 with 3 steals and 2 threes. Jordy McRae, who was a pickup in recent weeks in deep leagues, was a DMPCD. Josh, that's all I got here. What did I miss?
This Wizards team is just all sorts of banged up on their front court. No Bryant, no Wagner. It's like, holy Moses, they are an absolute mess. So, yeah, just keep your eye on this team for value. But, again, if it was a fluke, oh, no way, sir. Like, that's going to keep on rolling just based on just how great he's been playing and all of the injuries that have absolutely decimated the Wizards front court. Bertans is not going anywhere.
He's a monster.
It's crazy. And no, I'm not even going to try to pronounce Shagnus' name. So even though I just did try.
Maybe
Google Translate or something like that. All I can say is that Ian Mahimi is not a real relevant guy, especially if he's fouling out in 24 minutes. As long as, again, Wagner and Brian are out, there's got to be some big man minutes to come around. And Rui Hachimura was out for this one, too, and he's going to miss the next several games. So something's got to give because they need some sort of size. So you never know where that may come from. So just I don't add, obviously, but just keep your eye on it. And if another decent game comes about, maybe you pounce just to get a streamer in there.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. The Miami Heat hold off the Sixers 108 to 104. The return of Jimmy Butler to Philadelphia. And he had a pretty quiet game in this one. So much for the revenge narrative there. 14 points, 7 boards, 5 assists, 2 steals. He did have 4 turnovers, only 5 of 11 shooting. What are you going to do? It's Jimmy. Don't worry about him. You know, just didn't have a great game in this one. And Philly's defense probably clamped him up in this game. So I'm not going to worry about it. But our guy, Bam Adebayo, 23 points, 9 boards, 5 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks, 9 of 16 shooting, and a pretty good 5 of 6 from the stripe. He's awesome. He continues to be awesome. So I don't know what else to say other than, you know, the cat's out of the bag. He's a heck of a player and a big reason why the Heat are as good as they are and sitting with a 20-8 record. Kendrick Nunn played 41 minutes, shot 9 of 18 from the field, 26 points, leading the Heat scorers. He also had 5 assists, 4 boards, and a steal in this one, too. He's still a hold. I know that things can get a little bit messy in the Heat rotation, but again, as long as Goran Dragic are out and Justice Winslow is out, so his spot in the rotation is going to remain pretty solid. But this is a pretty thin team right now because the Heat played an 8-man rotation. Duncan Robinson had 15 points in 38 minutes, 5 of 11 shooting, 5 boards and assists and a block as well, so he's a hold. Myers Leonard, not really standardly relevant, but he had 6 points, 5 boards, 2 assists, and a block in 29 minutes. But off the bench, this is kind of the thing. Derek Jones Jr., 13 points, 6 boards and assists, and on 5 of 9 shooting, 2 three-pointers as well. Could be worth a speculative look because this team is pretty banged up. And if you're playing an 8-man rotation, you can get value out of all those guys. Tyler Hero had 9 points. Eight boards, 7 assists, and a steal. So a near triple-double for him. So not a bad line, only 4 of 11 shooting. So, again, I thought just once Winslow came back and Shedrajic had been healthy, that he would have gotten lost, but he still keeps hanging in there. I think his overall value isn't going to be that great, but at the same time, as long as the minutes are there, he's probably worth an end of your 12 to 14 team look at the end of your bench, because he can fill up the box scores here and there. Kurt, anything you want to add on the Heat?
Man, just Duncan Robinson, man. He's like a Davis Bertans light. And if he is available in your league, you need to own him. He's getting solid minutes. Sometimes he only gets you the threes and scoring, but you got to own this guy. I love your take on DJJ. He's really fun. He's got a really good stat set, and he's getting solid minutes. He gets you those steals, those blocks, those threes. And if you own Kelly Olynyk, man, he is just so up and down like a yo-yo. I'm done with him. I've owned him in a few spots. I'm done with him. I'm cutting him. His inconsistency is just too much. Going from 8 minutes to 30 minutes, obviously that's not his fault, but I'm done with him.
Yep, I hear you on all counts. Absolutely.
On the Sixers side, not much really moves the fantasy needle here. You guys know this team. It's pretty much the starters. They had their full complement of starters tonight. Tobias Harris was good, 24-2, two threes. Al Horford, a little quiet, but still 9-4-3, one steal, one block, one three. Okay line from Horford. Embiid, 22-19, three dimes, one steal, two blocks. Ben Simmons played 42 minutes, 17 points, six boards, six assists, two steals, one block. Didn't kill you at the free throw line at 75%. Josh Richardson, who's been a little bit of a buy low in recent weeks after returning, 17-5-6, one block, three threes, took 10 threes, interesting of note, and was second on the team in total shots with 17. Off the bench, the only guy that you're really looking at here is Matisse Thybulle, and he only saw 14 minutes tonight. Actually, there was very, very few minutes in total off the bench. We had 11 for Mike Scott, 16 for NS, 14 for Thybulle. Not much going on here. Thybulle did have three steals and a three. I'm intrigued if he's getting 25, 28 minutes, but this isn't enough. What's your take here, Josh? Did I miss anything?
No, you're right. It's Thybulle is if you're trying to stream defensive stats, because that's really all that you could depend on here and there. Three steals is great, but the minutes just simply are up and down for him, and I think this is a little bit of game situation at the same time. It's hard to depend on a guy as a standard league guy if his minutes keep yo-yoing here and there. And sometimes he gets hot, sometimes he doesn't. And if you need him for steals, great, hang on to him. If you don't and you need more room in your standard leagues, then I don't blame you if you want to throw him back on the wires.
Yeah, get more value out of a guy like DJJ who's going to get you those steals, getting solid minutes, and could chip in across the board.
I like it. I do. All right, we're going to move on to the Pelicans, snapping their long losing streak, 107-99, beating the Timberwolves. On the Pelicans side, Brandon Ingram, what a monster. 34 points, 6 boards, 5 assists, 3 steals, a block, 12 of 22 shooting, 3 three-pointers, a perfect 7 of 7 from the stripe. I don't even care about the 5 turners when I see this line. This is fantastic. What a breakout he's been. Had the little injury scare earlier in the year, but man, just he's been fantastic. And one of the biggest surprises of the season so far, he's holding his top 25 position, which is absolutely phenomenal. So struggled a little bit earlier, but he's rebounded in a big way, especially in this one tonight. So again, keep riding that one out. Drew Holiday, poor shooting night, 5 of 20 in this one, 18 points though. And he also had 3 boards, 3 assists, 2 steals, couple turnovers. Just ball wasn't going down for him in this one. I'm not going to be overly concerned. Again, his name has been in the rumor mills, so I think a lot of people are panicking a little bit. But I'm just going to say you got to hang on to him. You're probably not going to get the kind of value you think you're going to get for him at this point, because again, everyone's worried about shutdown risk if he stays or trading if he goes. But again, I think he's capable of big nights, even with Ingram kind of carrying that team there. So just hang tight. I'm sure there will be better games ahead. J.J. Redick, another name who's been appearing in trade rumors, 12 points, 2 boards, an assist, 2 three-pointers, which is where he makes his specialty, and only 4 of 10 shooting in this one. So a fairly quiet night by J.J. Redick standards. Derek Favors only took 2 shots but made both of them tonight. He had 6 points and 11 boards and a block, only played 21 minutes. They seem like they're still kind of easing him back in a little bit and giving him an opportunity to kind of feel his way around. And but look, the rebounds are that's optimistic. The block in there is optimistic. I think they're going to wait to get him a little bit more involved. Hang on to him. I think that there's still better times ahead. But hopefully they do increase his minutes in short order. Kendrick Williams did get a start in this one, but did a whole lot of nothing with it. 0 points, 3 boards, so you can safely ignore him. Off the bench, Josh Hart played 30 minutes. He had 11 points, 6 boards, 2 assists, and just turnover, but he did shoot the ball well. He's kind of a fringy guy. Had some nice games early on in the season. The minutes are nice. Sometimes the production isn't there, though. Lonzo Ball played 21 minutes. He was 4 of 10 shooting. He had 10 points, 6 boards, 6 assists. A nice night for him. The 4 turnovers aren't great. I wish that we could see more from him. He's also kind of a fringy guy and probably just a bit of a streamer, depending on if you need assists or some out-of-position rebounds, perhaps. Just he's kind of struggled to, one, stay healthy, but kind of crack more minutes. And Jahlil Okafor had 13 minutes. Jackson Hayes had 14 minutes. So I think with Favors back, even though he's not playing heavy minutes, that it's very clear that he is the starting center on this team now, and these guys are probably just drops in standard leagues, and just some, you know, again, only if Favors misses more time down the road do you scoop those guys up. That's it on Pelts for me. Kurt, anything you want to add?
Only thing I got, brother, that I'll be slightly contrarian on is the Jackson Hayes thing. With as bad as these guys are, he looks good out there. He can kind of run with the offense a little better than Favors. And yeah, Okafor took some minutes tonight, but we've been seeing Hayes get closer to the 28 to 30 minute mark. I think 25 minutes in the last 30 games for 10 and 5 with 1.2 blocks and 60% from the field. I think he'll get unleashed later in the year if they shut some guys down here, and I think Favors could be one of those guys. So I'm holding on to him. I don't own him anywhere, unfortunately. I'm looking at my 7 leagues. Nobody dropped him. I think if he got dropped tonight, I think he's a good pickup. But other than that, agree with everything you said there, brother.
Yeah, fair enough. I don't mind the contrarian attitude. He did have a couple of good games prior to this one. But I just see this one and sandwiched with another lousy game a few games ago when Favors returned. And it's just I'm a little concerned about the consistency as well. But if you're the optimist, you want to hang on to him, think that in the long run he's going to be the guy, I don't blame you if you want to hang on to him. That's cool.
Yes, sir. You want to hear about these Wolves?
Yes.
Alrighty. So Robert Covington, he was late for practice. He got demoted to the bench, probably a one-time deal. But that kind of woke him up in his counting stats. He had 15, 7, and 2 with 3 steals, 1 block, and 3 three-pointers. Hurt you a bit from the field at 5 of 17. 11 of those shots were three-pointers, so if he made a couple more of those, you're looking at a pretty solid line. Expect to see him probably in the starting lineup in the next game. Josh's boy, Andrew Wiggins, 27 and 7 with 2 steals, 2 threes. Gorgie Dieng got a start tonight. I remember this guy. I've heard of him before. He had a 13 and 8 with an assist. Don't pick him up. Jeff Teague got the start tonight. 5 points, 2 assists. 5 points, 2 rebounds, 9 assists. And Josh Okogie had 3 points and 3 boards. Not a standard league guy there. Neither is Travion Graham. Cat sat tonight with a knee injury, which I believe he sustained in the last game and played through. So hopefully this is just precautionary. Hopefully we don't see him out too long. He's one of the pillars of health, and when it comes to fantasy basketball, I wouldn't panic. It is a bummer to see him sit, but don't panic there. He'll be just fine. And really off the bench, gosh, we had, Jarrett Culver was also DMPC to, sorry, he was DMP. It says coach's decision, but it's because he came up with an illness later in the game. Other than that, there's really nothing of note here. Deep leaguers, maybe Shabazz Napier with 10-6. Josh, you got anything on these Wolves?
No, like you said, it's kind of weird that well, not weird. It's just it's pretty unusual that Towns is out. So, but again, like you said, hopefully that isn't a long-term issue. Yeah. But Jang, like again, was a former top 100 guy and just got buried behind Towns. It's not as if he isn't capable, but he's only capable when Towns is out. And those games are few and far between. Teague's been a roller coaster ride this year, man. Wiggins is, you know, he's cooled off from that crazy, crazy start, but the volume's there. He's still getting you some defensive stats as well. So he's going to settle probably in that like top 75-ish range, which, you know what, considering his draft price, that's not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah.
All right. We are going to move on to the Thunder beating the Grizzlies 126-122, a wild one. We're going to start on the Grizzlies side. Jonas Valanciunas, 24 points, 9 boards, 3 assists on 11-16 shooting. A couple three-pointers mixed in there. So nice game for him. Would like to see a block or two, but a nice all-around game. In only 26 minutes, so I'm not going to complain too much. John Morant, 22 points, 7 assists, a 9-16 shooting. He also was only 3-5 from the stripe and had a three-pointer. But again, it's good to see that he's kind of gotten his groove back since he's back from the injury. He's been pretty hot over the past couple of weeks. He's playing like a top 50 player, which is excellent. And so hopefully he can keep that up. Dylan Brooks, 15 points, 6 boards, 2 assists, and a block. Only 5 of 12 shooting, not the worst, not the best either. 2 three-pointers, 3 of 4 from the stripe. He's been a hold. I'm kind of surprised. I thought there was a lot of inconsistency in this game, but he's been pretty valuable to this team. And the lines just keep on coming. I think I'm kind of holding him there. So he's been a top 100 guy over the past few games. I think he's been settling in that range throughout the season, maybe a little bit more below that, kind of top 150. But again, he's been creeping up there, and the last few box scores that I've seen him have been pretty positive. So might be worth a hold over there. Jaren Jackson Jr. had a lousy night. Again, foul trouble being the main culprit. 9 points on 4 of 9 shooting, only 1 rebound, 1 assist, a steal, and 1 block. Disappointing because this was such a high-scoring night. I didn't see if anything had happened to him in this game, but I do see the 5 fouls in limited amount of minutes. So I'm assuming that was it, and we'll keep an eye out unless there was any news that I missed that it happened tonight. But I'm not seeing any. So again, just assuming that this terrible line is just due to heavy fouls in this one. Jay Crowder had played 33 minutes and did a whole lot of nothing with it. Only 1 of 6 shooting, 3 points, 4 boards, 4 assists, a steal. Again, he's kind of a fringy guy. Kind of know what you're going to get with him. So if you want to cut him, I wouldn't blame you. But he's been kind of that, you know, edge of top 150-ish kind of guy. So again, fringy guy if you want to go look elsewhere. I'm not going to berate you for that one. Brandon Clark was a machine off the bench, 27 points in 25 minutes, 13 of 19 shooting. A lot of John Morant to Brandon Clark alley-oops in this one. And the Thunder had absolutely no answer for him. Monster night for Clark. It's good to see him that he's completely healthy. Solomon Hill played 29 minutes, had 8 points, 4 boards, an assist, and a steal, but not really standard league relevant. 14, 16 teamers, fine. And that's about it. Kyle Anderson had 9 points, 6 boards, and an assist, but he's kind of played his way out of standard league relevance. And again, only 15 minutes, so we're not going to pay that too much mind. Kurt? Anything on the Grizzlies side?
Only thing I got, brother, is if you were holding D'Anthony Melton, he's a drop in standard leaguers, probably 14-teamers as well. Just file it away for next time if Ja Morant goes down, or if you're looking for a pump play for DFS. If Ja's not playing and they do some of this rookie load management, play D'Anthony Melton over Tyus Jones. On the Thunder side, Danilo Gallinari, 20 points, 3 boards, 3 assists, 3 triples. Chris Paul, 18 points, 4 boards, 5 assists, 2 steals, 1 3. These guys, let me just give them some credit here. Chris Paul, if my math is right, has played 26 of 26 games for the Thunder, has not missed a single game. He's one of the most injury-prone guys out there, right? He's number 18 on the season. Danilo Gallinari, he's number 54 on the season, and he's missed one game. And I believe what I saw from Woj, one of the Woj bombs over the past week, not much of a bomb, but he was saying that the Thunder are feeling less inclined to make trades this year, and they may not trade anyone till the offseason. So keep that in mind if you have Gallo and Chris Paul and you're actively trying to move them, you're worried they're going to get shut down. It might not happen. So they're both outperforming their ADP. You might just want to ride this out because you're probably not going to get back the value that they're playing right now. Steven Adams, 13-10 with 5 assists, no defensive stats. He's getting it turned around. Shai Gilgeous, 20-9 with 1 assist, 2 steals, 2 blocks. Good to see the defensive stats from him. He is outside the top 109K at 124 on the season. Should get better. Other than that, HoopBall 6 favorite, Dennis Schroeder, had 31 points, 3 boards, 7 assists, 1 steal, 1 3. Really helped you at the free throw line at 10 of 11 and 10 of 19 from the field. Other than that, Nerlens Noel, 10-3 with 1 assist. Kind of a bummer. No defensive stats from him. Again, if nobody gets traded here, keep riding Noel. He's been a top 100 guy. But just know that Adams getting traded isn't a sure thing. Other than that, Diallo's still injured. He might be a guy who's worth a look in the later half of the season. Josh, what did I miss here on the Thunder?
Chris Paul, over the past 2 weeks, has been the fourth best player on a per-game basis in non-cap.
Number four.
Wow. Which is crazy. And he's been amazing all season. Like you said, he's played in all of them. I think everyone's just kind of waiting for the wheels to fall off and then forget that Chris Paul is a basketball genius. He hasn't been playing crazy heavy minutes, but he's been far more efficient with the minutes that he's been playing. And like you said, the Thunder are hanging around. They're not tanking. They're in the thick of the playoff race. They might play to get in because there's a lot that is in flux out west. So why not? If he's playing this great, you might as well hang on to him. They got a good thing going with CP3, Gilgeous Alexander, and Schroeder playing in that three-guard rotation. So why mess with a good thing right now?
Yeah, I think ride it out if you got him, because you're not going to be able to sell for any first or second-round value, do you think, Josh?
Yeah, we had this debate on Twitter like that we were going back and forth on earlier. It was a debate about
Embiid question.
It was Chris Paul and Embiid or Kawhi Leonard and John Collins, and I was the one standing Chris Paul, and I just think that he's been incredible, and just we keep anticipating, it's a matter of when that injury happens. Not if, but at the same time, as my good friend Sorio says when we do our live shows on Thursdays, guys are injury prone until they're not injury prone. And all it takes is a good stretch of health, and sure enough, they can shed that label quickly. And look, again, I don't know. Do I trust Chris Paul won't get injured? He might miss some games here and there, but at the same time, there's never a guarantee that someone is going to just walk into a crazy injury. So again, like you said, you just got to ride this out because the value right now is just absolutely insane.
Yep. All right,
we will move on to the Nuggets beating the Orlando Magic 113-104. On the Magic side, Nick Vucevic, 20 points, on 7-16 shooting, 7 boards, 5 assists, and a block. Kind of quietish night for him, but again, this was bound to be a kind of a sluggish game between two kind of slower paced teams. Not a crazy great game for Vooch, but again, he's still Vooch. He'll be all right. And Aaron Gordon, this is the kind of Aaron Gordon game I've come to expect. 9 points on 4-14 shooting, 7 boards, 3 assists. He did chip in a steal and a block. But again, Aaron Gordon just wants to be a shooting guard for some reason, and this is the kind of night that you get because of it. And he's really only kind of hovered around the top 150. It's, man, I like between him. Well, look, Blake Griffin at least has a knee injury to explain like his poor play. Aaron Gordon doesn't have such a luxury because he's seemingly healthy. Our boy Jonathan Isaac did not have a good game tonight. It seemed like there was a bit of foul trouble. I didn't see any news on him, but he only played 17 minutes in this one. And quiet night. 7 points, 5 boards, no defensive stats, no 3-pointers either, only 3 of 6 from the field. He must have left in this one. I did not see what had happened. I believe that he left this game early. I just see that he was unlikely to return. It was tightness in the hamstring and the lower back. We're going to have to keep our eye on that one. He was in some foul trouble, but it did look like he left with injury. So we will keep an eye on that, obviously, because, you know, it would stink to lose him for any stretch of time, especially considering the season that he's had. Markelle Fultz, 30 minutes, had 10 points, 4 assists, a rebound, did have a steal and a block. But again, only 4 of 10 shooting. Not his best night, but he's been so super consistent that we're hanging on to him. Evan Fournier, only 13 points, 3 assists aboard, also stealing a block, also 4 of 10 shooting. They pretty much had an identical line to Fultz. His torrid streak has kind of cooled off, but hang on to him. He's a good end of your bench guy. DJ Augustin was the big scorer off the bench. He had 18 points. Was pretty big for the Magic down the stretch, trying to get them keep them in this game. 4 of 9 shooting, 7 of 7 at the stripe, but again, a kind of a fringy guy. Again, Fultz is the de facto starter on this team. He's the guy I trust more. Augustin's been a little bit more up and down, and some other bench notables. I got some minutes. Michael Carter Williams had 23 minutes. Had 6 points. 4 boards, 2 assists. He did have 4 steals, but again, you're only looking at him in the deepest of leagues. Terrence Ross has just been so hit or miss. 22 minutes, he had 8 points, 2 boards, an assist. No defensive stats either. Was 2 of 4 from deep. Mo Bamba, he's still getting that primary backup minutes to Vooch. So again, per minute basis, he can still deliver. He had 9 points, 5 boards, 2 steals, a block. And did it only in 15 minutes. That's a pretty decent, well-rounded line for him in a short amount of time. Again, it is going to take another injury to Vooch for Bamba to step up beyond that. But so we don't hope that doesn't happen. We don't want injuries to Vooch. But again, could be worse given the limited minutes for him. But he's worth a hold because he can do a lot in the limited amount of time that he's been seeing. Kurt, anything magical that you want to discuss otherwise?
Nothing, brother. All the magic's with you.
Yeah, thanks, sir.
On the Nuggets side, the best fantasy asset here, which we weren't saying a month ago, is Nikola Jokic, 18, 9, and 12, 1 board away from a triple-double, 1 steal, 1 block, 2 threes. Good to see him turn it around. If you bought low on him, congratulations. Better days are in store. He's had a good last couple weeks. The best guy, or second best guy on this team by a fantasy standpoint, 9 cap, is Will Barton, which I did not anticipate coming in the year. 9 points, 9 boards, 3 assists, 2 steals, 1 3-pointer. He kind of contributes across the board. Played 39 minutes tonight. Hopefully playing hefty minutes like that doesn't lead to an injury. Jamal Murray had a solid night with 33 points, 5 rebounds, only a 1 assist, 1 steal, 2 threes, 9 of 10 from the free throw line, and 11 of 19 from the field. So minus the lack of assists there. Pretty solid game from Jamal Murray. Gary Harris, who we all want to like, he's getting the minutes, but just kind of empty lines. He's been like a top 150 type of guy in 9-5-3, one steal, one block, one three. If he'd ever get his steals up closer to two, start hitting some more three-pointers, he'd be an easy standard league guy. We've seen him do it before. Paul Millsap, he's been number 83 on the season tonight, 15 and 12. Nice line from Paul. Two assists, no defensive stats, but he chipped in a three. Off the bench here, Jeremy Grant, who'd gotten a spot start with Millsap out, only saw 20 minutes for 8 points, one rebound, one assist, two threes. Had some questions on whether he was a must-add for standard leagues. I didn't see it. If you picked him up, I think he's a drop. Maybe a 16-teamer. Other than that, there's really nothing here you can trust off the bench. Josh, did I miss anything here?
Yeah, it's very interesting. The Nuggets were a team that were hard to figure out last year because they were so deep and they played a pretty deep rotation. And now, like, you look at this and they're like, oh, no, we're playing our starters heavy minutes. And that's where all the value is. And you said, Barton's been great. Jokic is getting better. Murray had a great night. And, yeah, Gary Harris is really the only one that, like, we're struggling to understand what's going on there. He just I feel like he just needs to string together a few good games because – he should be owned. It's just he just hasn't been performing all that well. But you would think that he might get some of those games. It's just he's got to get his shot going.
Yep.
All right. Celtics, Mavericks. This one is a near final. It is currently 106 to 101. There are 33 seconds left in this one. So I doubt there's going to be that much change in this game. But we will, again, we'll continue to go through this as we get to a final. Kemba Walker, 31 points on 9 of 18 shooting, 5 three-pointers, 8 of 10 from the stripe. Also chipped in 5 boards, 3 assists and a block, and is at the stripe again. So is the point total is now up to 32 as the Celtics take a 107-101 lead. So really another solid night for Kemba Walker, which is outstanding. Jason Tatum, 24 points, 7 boards, an assist, a block on 10 of 23 shooting. Some heavy volume with him. The shooting's kind of been a struggle. But again, he's been pretty much, he's been great even without that. So, you know, no worries on Tatum there. But with Gordon Hayward out of this one with a sore foot, there was bound to be a ton of volume between Tatum and Jaylen Brown, who had 24 points as well. Also 8 boards, including a steal and a block. 8 of 18 shooting, perfect at the stripe, which is phenomenal for Jaylen Brown. So he's been also another revelation this year. I guess big contracts can do big things for you. He's been great. So he's been a solid find for anyone who would be left for dead during draft season. Daniel Theis has emerged as kind of the starting center on this Celtics team, but didn't do much within 22 minutes. 2 points, 7 boards, an assist, a steal, and a block. It's nice that he chips in, but again, he's really only a fringy guy. He's just not doing much on the offensive side of things. And even as a starter, he's only seeing minutes in the early to mid 20s. So I'm not, you know, as much as I want to get behind Theis, I just really can't right now. Semi Ojeleye got that start in place of Gordon Hayward and didn't do much, only 1 of 3 from the field. 3 points, 4 boards, and assists. I would safely ignore him in leagues. Grant Williams, 24 minutes off the bench. He had 7 points, 2 boards, an assist, and a steal. Enes Kanter, 21 minutes, 6 points, 13 boards, 2 assists, but really nothing else to speak of. Only 2 of 10 from the field. It's kind of like shocking that he really hasn't gotten going. He hasn't gotten his way in this rotation. I wonder what happens here if he doesn't become a trade candidate as well for a need of some offensive scoring from the big position, but he really just has not cracked the rotation this year. He can fill it up in a short amount of time, but just hasn't done it for the Celtics team. It is currently 107-103 with 20 seconds to go. Again, we're less concerned about the outcome, just more concerned about the boxes, and I doubt there's going to be too much change, so we'll leave it at that. Kurt, Celtics, anything else that you got that you're thinking on?
main thing that I'm watching these guys from a fantasy landscape is the center rotation. And like you said, there's been nobody you could trust for a long time. It was Tice, and he's tailed off. They're splitting the minutes so many ways. But Robert Williams is supposed to be out for... He'll be reevaluated in 3 weeks. So that means Cantor will be the main guy off the bench. And something to look for, especially in 14-teamers a deep. Cantor only needs 20-plus-ish minutes to get you close to a double-double. Good percentages, no real defensive stats. But I would keep a close eye on that, because some people might not notice that Williams was out. I didn't notice that until very recently. The other thing that I had was that Gordon Hayward didn't play today, and he has some kind of a possible foot injury he's going to get an MRI for. And apparently this was a thing before he had his, broken finger, broken hand. So they're saying that if this, the results don't come up well for this, he could be looking at an extended absence here, which could be a bummer for him based on, you know, he had that solid run to start the season. We thought he was back, then he missed a good amount of weeks. And if he's out again, that's kind of a bummer for him. Do you got anything on that, Josh?
Just keep your eye on the news and hope for the best, especially for you.
Yes, sir. Over on the Mavericks side, we don't have Luka Doncic yet.
It's too bad. Yeah, we don't have Luka Doncic to talk about, which is disappointing.
Yeah, definitely. So in the meantime, we got a bunch of fringy guys here. Kristaps Porzingis, I think Doncic being out might be just what we need to get him rolling. He's been a little disappointing so far this year. 23 points, 13 boards, 2 assists, 1 steal, 3 blocks, 2 3-pointers. That's what you want from the unicorn. Dwight Powell, he gets the minutes but doesn't do a whole lot. He's got those beefy biceps going on, but 7-5 with an assist, 1 steal, 2 blocks. More of a 14-16 teamer. Probably not even 4-teamer, honestly. Dorian Finney-Smith has had some okay games. 4 defensive stats tonight, 8 points, 5 boards. Jalen Brunson, who is probably the winner so far of the Doncic injury, 10 points, 7 rebounds, 11 assists, 2 3-pointers. Of him, Hardaway, Curry, and Wright, I think he's the guy you want to own. He's probably scooped up in all of your leagues so far. I thought Hardaway would be the next guy you want to own. But again, with Hardaway, it's all on his shot. If his shot's falling, he's good. If his shot's not falling, he doesn't do much else. Tonight, 4 of 17. But he did take 10 three-pointers. So the fact that he's taken those amount of three-pointers, he's a guy who could easily get you 5, 6, 7 three-pointers on a given night. But he's very streaky. 13, 3-2 with 1 steal, 3 threes. Off the bench, we mentioned DeLon Wright. He only played 17 minutes, still working himself back from an injury. I probably wouldn't own him right now. 6 points, 3 boards, 4 assists, 2 steals in those 17 minutes. Not bad for limited minutes. Seth Curry. I was not anticipating this guy to see a good bump with Doncic out. So far, he's proven me wrong. 25 minutes off the bench, 20 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 threes. He usually hits a good amount of threes like his brother, and he usually does it on a decent amount, decent field goal percentage. So, yeah, I mean, if you have somebody worth a cut on the end of your bench, you could do that. Just keep in mind, all of these guys, Brunson, Hardaway, Curry, Wright, they're all going to take a solid hit in just about a week, 10 days, or whenever Doncic comes back. Other than that, I don't have anything here. Josh, do you got anything for Dallas?
Yeah, kind of take your pick between Brunson and Seth Curry. If you need 3-pointers, I would lean towards Curry. If you're looking for a little bit more of the assists and the counting stats, probably Brunson. But I think both can be valuable guys. I don't think both are going to do pretty well with Doncic out. And Seth Curry has had a couple good games recently. So I would think again, if you're streaming, either one of them are worth the ad at this point. And just, again, all waiting with bated breath until Luka comes back. It is late in the Trailblazers-Warriors game. Again, we keep wrapping up with the Warriors, which is very disappointing. But fortunately, they're not playing the Knicks this time. It's the Blazers who have been not so much equally disappointing, but disappointing nonetheless. There's about 6 minutes to go in this one. It is 105 to 102. It's now 107 to 102 in favor of the Trailblazers. So we will go through some of these again. These are likely going to change, but at the same time, it's getting late. I doubt there's going to be too much variance in some of these things, barring this game going into overtime. But on the Warriors side, D'Angelo Russell currently has 23 points on 8 of 20 shooting, 6 assists. He does have a steal and a block, as well as a rebound. You know, we were hoping that he would be able to, soak up all this usage and play big. It just hasn't really happened for him, again, between the injuries and this Warriors team being pretty lousy. Russell is, he's just hasn't been all that great. He's been pretty awful, actually, over the past couple weeks. The shooting's been pretty lousy. He's been well outside of the top 200. And even still, just on the season, just kind of an outside top 100 guy. Again, you kind of have to hang on to him for the volume, but he's got to get his shooting touch back. And 8 of 20 isn't exactly bringing confidence in that. But again, there's not a whole lot of offense going on that Warriors team. Glenn Robinson III has 14 points, 4 boards, and a whole lot of nothing else. 5 of 10 shooting, again, a fringe top 150 guy, maybe end of your bench. Draymond Green, 7 points, 5 boards, 2 assists, 2 steals, only 2 of 6 from the floor. Again, if you were expecting him to soak up usage, that really hasn't happened either. It's been just a disappointing season all around for anyone who's had the Warriors. He has been bad over the past couple weeks or so. Again, been in and out of the lineup, fringe top 50 player. But again, we were hoping for better for Draymond than just being within the top 100 on the season. But again, kind of comes with the territory with the injuries and just playing on a pretty lousy team. Willie Cauley-Stein, 19 minutes thus far, 12 points, 7 boards, an assist, a steal. It seems like he's been splitting that time with Marcus Chris and Kevon Looney. Kevon Looney hasn't even played in this one. So it seems like that starting job remains his. And again, another fringy kind of guy. I don't have a whole lot of faith in that front court. No one's really kind of come to the front court. The forefront. He has had a decent stretch, but again, I don't trust it for long periods of time. He's got kind of like good per minute value. Again, I'm down on Cauley-Stein as a whole, but again, the value is there in limited amounts of minutes. I just don't trust it over the long run. And let's see, Marcus Chris has a double double off the bench, 10 points, 10 boards, an assist, and a block. He's kind of a hold also, just because we thought he would go away, and every time that we think he goes away, then he comes back and has a pretty decent night. So it's a nice double-double for him off the bench. And let's see, Alec Burks, 14 points, 4 boards, 4 assists, a steal, and a block. Only 5 of 18 shooting, which is kind of a bummer. He had been really, really, I wouldn't say great. He had a good stretch with all the injuries going on. The poor shooting is kind of rough. He's still going to carve out a role off the bench on this team. But also, with everyone somewhat healthy on this team, it's hard to kind of predict the rotations a little bit. So it's a little bit all over the map for these Warriors. Kurt, I feel like I'm struggling with this team. Give me some insight that I may not have on the Warriors or just anything,
It's easy to struggle when you look at this team, brother. The only thing I got is to hit on those two studs, Draymond and D'Angelo, because that's where teams are losing the most bang for their buck there. So, as our benevolent overlord Dan Vesper says, the Warriors are in the middle of a 10-game stint where they don't have any back-to-backs. So most likely Green and D'Lo are going to play most of those games unless they get a hangnail. So if they string together a few good games, and Dre's got a couple bum ones so far, unless he somehow goes beast mode in the last 6 minutes, you got to sell these guys. And it might be pennies on the dollar, but gosh, it's going to be a rough and painful ride to hold on to them all season. Draymond number 90 on the season in 9-cat, and D'Angelo, I'm pretty surprised to see number 110. I didn't know it would be possible to score 21 points a game with almost three threes and be number 110. So these guys, if they string together some solid games, if you don't want to ride this roller coaster, you got to try to sell these guys. That's all I got. Do you agree with that, Josh?
Yeah, I agree with you. It's a struggle, and they're just not going to deliver the draft capital that you thought you did.
No.
Let's wrap this bad boy up. Give me some Blazers.
All right, man. On the Blazers side, Carmelo Anthony, who has been on a terror in the defensive stats area. I can't see how this keeps up, but 17.6 boards, one steal, two blocks, one three. You know, he was kind of fringy, and a lot of the entire industry was saying he's not a pickup in standard leagues, and he's been proving us wrong so far. He is currently number 101 on the season with 0.6 blocks. It seems like he's been getting more than that. 1.3 steals, 1.8 threes on 16-6. He's been doing surprisingly well. Can he keep this up? Can he avoid some kind of issues in the locker room or with the coaching staff and management? I kind of doubt it, but at this point, he's a must-own standard league guy, even 10-team league guy. Hassan Whiteside, 12 points, 21 boards, two blocks, no missed free throws, no turnovers. He is currently number 13 on the season in 9-cat in 28 minutes. Nurkic may return, but I don't really see him hurting Whiteside all that much, especially if Portland falls out of the playoff race. They have no reason to play Nurk. After tonight's game, Whiteside's probably in the first round value. So, amazing season for Whiteside, paying off dividends. A bit of a sell high, sure, but I don't really see a whole lot reason for a drop off here. Damian Lillard, and another note on that, is we saw Whiteside a couple years ago before he was in Miami and having those mental problems with Spoelstra on the free throw line. He was a second round guy, so it's not like we've never seen him do this before. Moving on, Damian Lillard, 27-11, one steal, one block, two threes, doing Dame stuff. CJ McCollum, 10 of 18 from the field, which is nice for him. 27 points, 4 boards, 2 assists, 2 threes. Kent Bazemore, some buzz around him. A lot of hoopball guys hyping this guy up with a starting gig and with Rodney Hood out. 25 minutes, 3 points, 1 rebound, 1 steal, 1 block. Would be a little contrarian to a lot of hoopball staff here. I'm not holding him, Josh, in standard leagues. Let me know if you're doing something else, but there's not enough meat on the bone, at least for me. And granted, I might be different from the rest because I have a little bit of an itchy trigger finger. So if I pick somebody up and they don't give me anything in a few days or a few games, I'm moving on. Like, I'm pretty quick to the wire. So let me know if I'm wrong there, if you're doing something different. Off the bench, gosh, Scalabissier, 10-7. Anfernee Simons, he can score and hit threes. That's about it. Did neither tonight, 0.03s. Hazonia has not entered the game. Josh, that's all I got. What do you got on these Blazers? Are you doing anything different with Bazemore?
No, I'm actually with you. I when Hood went down, the rush was go get Bazemore. And I just didn't trust that he would be able to do a whole lot or that they would increase his minutes that significantly. So I'm with you. Again, he's a very kind of boring own.
Yeah.
And a very low upside guy at this point. So I'm not as, you know, open to hanging on to him. If I see someone that I'm looking to grab, I don't have an itchy trigger finger either, but I'm not going to be hesitant about dropping Baze at this point. And yeah, like you said, just Carmelo is pretty much must own. I'll swallow my pride and just say you got to own him at this point. Like I said about Chris Paul, these guys are healthy until they're not healthy. And right now, Carmelo's healthy and he's playing well. There's some defensive stats. He's top 100 so far since his return, top 50 in the past, or top 50-ish over the past couple weeks. You gotta ride that out. Got to ride that out. And but that's all I have for the Blazers. And that is all we have for Wednesday night's box score breakdown. Kurt, my man, it's been a pleasure, as always. We're 1 week out from Christmas, so hoopballers, enjoy yourselves. If you like the box score breakdown, you like what we're offering here, leave us a review. You hit us up on Twitter. I am at Josh Millman. Kurt, where are you at, man? What? Give me your captaincy.
Alrighty, so I'll try to spell this for you guys again. Easiest way is to probably just look in the description. CaptainCainEghis. Maybe you could search Hoopball Captain. I don't know if I'm that popular yet that I actually pop up when you search that, but maybe. but yeah, it's been a great time. Thanks for having me here, Josh. And yeah, been great knocking out these big Wednesdays with you.
Yes, sir. All right, Hoopballers, enjoy your holidays and enjoy the rest of the games. Take it easy, guys. Thanks for listening to the Box Score Breakdown.
Have a good one.
This has been a Hoop Ball presentation.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet-setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.